In a hospital game room in 1986, two children find refuge in Oregon Trail. 11-year-old Sadie visits her sister battling leukemia, while Sam recovers from a devastating foot injury. Between pixelated deaths from dysentery and snake bites, something extraordinary happens. A friendship forms through play, creating a language that will define their lives for decades to come. When they reconnect by chance years later in a Boston subway station, Sam spotting Sadie struggling with a Magic Eye poster, they resume their conversation as if the years between never existed. This chance reunion ignites one of the most profound creative partnerships in gaming history, one that will produce worlds where players can find what the creators themselves are seeking: meaning, connection, and the chance to start again when life deals its cruelest blows. Their first collaboration stems from a simple concept: a tsunami-swept child finding their way home with only a bucket and shovel. Ichigo embodies their complementary creative approaches. Sam designs for player experience, creating joy that helped him through childhood trauma. Sadie adds academic rigor and artistic ambition. Marks, Sam's charismatic roommate, handles business while championing their vision. Their development process is intensely physical. Sam types until his fingers bleed. Sadie bursts a blood vessel in her eye. Their first major decision arrives when publishers approach: accept modest payment from a small company respecting their vision, or take 5 times more from a corporation that immediately genders their intentionally neutral protagonist. This tension between artistic integrity and commercial success continues when Ichigo 2 becomes financially successful but creatively disappointing. As Unfair Games grows from 3 friends in a cramped apartment to a proper studio with employees and investors, their intimate creative process becomes industrialized. Marks, Sadie's romantic relationship, leaves Sam feeling excluded. Their once complementary creative differences transform into conflicts, with Sam's focus on accessibility clashing with Sadie's artistic ambitions. Their collaborative masterpiece, Both Sides, reflects their creative tension perfectly. The game features 2 contrasting worlds, Mapletown's nostalgic Americana versus Meyer Landing's dark fantasy, that players navigate simultaneously. These dual worlds mirror Sam and Sadie themselves, distinct creative visions forced to coexist. When reviews criticize the game's disjointed nature, their partnership begins to fracture. Sam and Sadie's bodies bear the marks of their dedication. Sam undergoes multiple surgeries for a foot condition, while Sadie's eyesight deteriorates from screen time. During intense development periods, both suffer severe exhaustion, surviving on energy drinks and vending machine snacks. The novel explores the psychological price of tying identity to creative output. When Both Sides receives negative reviews, Sadie experiences failure as a fine coating of ash penetrating her entire being. Sam's phantom limb pain becomes a metaphor for creative anxiety, intensifying during deadlines. Their self-worth becomes dangerously entangled with their work's reception. Their relationship functions as a love story without being a romance. They communicate through code and gameplay mechanics when words fail. Finding someone you want to play with for hundreds of hours is extraordinarily rare, as Sam reflects. Yet this intimacy makes betrayal more devastating, as their intertwined identities mean criticism of one feels like rejection of the other. Tragedy strikes when gunmen targeting Sam kill Marks in their studio parking lot. His final protective gesture exemplifies his selflessness. Without his mediating presence, Sam and Sadie's relationship crumbles under grief and unresolved tensions. Their creative paths diverge. Sadie isolates herself during pregnancy with Marks's child, finding refuge in coding while mourning. She creates Master of the Revels, her most acclaimed solo work, embedding themes of loss and memory. The game contains a hidden level where Marks recites Shakespeare's Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow speech, a digital memorial that becomes player lore. Sam battles survivor's guilt, knowing the bullets were meant for him. he develops commercially successful but creatively diminished games, increasingly focused on redemption and second chances, reflecting his desire to rewrite an unchangeable past. The tragedy transforms both their lives and creative work, as art becomes both escape from and expression of their deepest wounds. Years later in Pioneers, Sam creates an elaborate deception, playing as both Sadie's neighbor Alabaster and her eventual wife, Dr. Edna Daedalus, while Sadie plays as Emily B. Marks. This virtual relationship raises questions about authenticity. Is Sam's creation of a virtual universe for Sadie romantic or invasive? The virtual world serves as both sanctuary and battlefield for their relationship. Through Dr. Daedalus, an optometrist who creates glass art, Sam expresses what he struggles to communicate in person. Sadie similarly uses her virtual presence to explore unconstrained versions of herself. Creation becomes an addiction and escape mechanism. After Marx's death, Sam works 16-hour days rather than processing grief, while Sadie plays garbage games to manage anxiety, providing temporary relief but delaying emotional processing. When Sadie discovers the truth, her reaction is complex: violation at the manipulation, but acknowledgement that the experience helped her process postpartum depression and rediscover herself. The virtual world becomes a laboratory for identity, questioning whether artificial constructs can facilitate real healing. After years of estrangement, Sam and Sadie begin reconciling through small but meaningful moments. Sadie offering condolences when Sam's grandfather dies, Sam helping Sadie see a magic eye image over the phone. These gestures reveal their evolved understanding of friendship and forgiveness. The novel concludes with Sadie giving Sam a drive containing a game she started called Ludo Sextus, inviting his collaboration. This moment mirrors their childhood meeting, but with crucial differences. The Latin name suggests both playfulness and wisdom, while her invitation comes without demands, just possibility. Her words, "old friends play free," acknowledge their history while suggesting connections beyond commercial considerations. This open-ended conclusion reveals that creative partnerships, like games themselves, are ongoing processes rather than finished products. Their story shows that meaningful victories aren't about winning, but about finding new ways to play together despite past failures. At its heart, this story examines how play shapes our understanding of ourselves and others. Through games, characters process trauma, build connections, and create meaning from chaos. The novel suggests that play isn't merely escapism, but a fundamental way of engaging with life's complexities. The most meaningful games, like meaningful relationships, aren't about perfection, but about perseverance despite failure. When Sadie tells Sam what helps her through depression, imagining people playing games, finding hope in the willingness to play that kept one from despair, she articulates the central insight: play itself is an act of hope and resilience. In our increasingly digital world, virtual experiences aren't separate from real life, but extensions of our human need to create, connect, and find meaning through shared stories. Sam and Sadie's journey shows how the games we create become integral to our identities, digital expressions of our desire to leave something meaningful behind. What will you create? And more importantly, who will you create it with? The answers might just define your life's most important game.